Welcome to MSU Today, featuring the best of Michigan State University. I'm Bill Beekman, Vice President and Athletic Director here at Michigan State, and I'm very excited today to be joined by Jill Woodward, Director of the Community Music School in Detroit, an arm of our College of Music, an extraordinary enterprise run by Dean Jim Forger and his team. And Jill runs a really extraordinary program that represents Michigan State so nicely, down on a street named after Jill on Woodward Avenue in downtown Detroit. So, Jill, could you just give us a sense of what the program's about and a little bit of background on what happens at the Community Music School in Detroit?
Yes, absolutely, Bill, and thank you for having me on. I'm always so delighted to talk about our program. I did not go to Michigan State, but I am so proud of the investment that the university is making in our Detroit youth through music, and I get to live the benefits of that, day in and day out. But we're located in Midtown on Woodward Avenue, as you said. We're in the MSU Detroit Center, just a stone's throw from the new Little Caesars Arena. And we actually just celebrated our 10th anniversary, if you can believe it. I like to say we're one of the best kept secrets in music education in Detroit, because we really don't spend as much time as we should tooting our own horn, because we're just really too busy doing the work. But the Community Music School is another way for MSU to share the resources of the university with Detroiters and with, the families from across Southeast Michigan. And what we do is provide music for all ages, abilities, and incomes. But what's most important, I think, in this day and age is that we remove the economic barriers to participation in really high quality music education for our low income families. When you think about some of the, issues that, our society is thinking about, and especially right now, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, the arts are one of those things that are not accessible to everyone as we would hope they might be. It can be very expensive to rent or buy an instrument or to take private lessons, especially if you don't have that in your school. And it wasn't all that long ago that, in Detroit after the bankruptcy and maybe 5-7 years ago, music was really the exception rather than the rule in our public schools. Now I'm thrilled to say that's turning around, and the DPSCD has made a huge investment in returning music. But, Dean Forger looked at the situation, 10 years ago and was like, geez, we really have to step up. It's important for all children to have access to this curriculum. We know there's just reams of research about the benefits of music study and what that does for really people of all ages. But for babies, for youth development, they're the skills that we really need for the 21st century economy are built in into music study. You might find that a presumptuous statement, but I have a favorite quote from a Nobel Prize winning physicist, and he said that all he needed to learn for success he got from his bassoon teacher.
I wouldn't doubt that. It's interesting in my role as the director of athletics. I think that I had a conversation earlier today with Coach Izzo, and we were talking about how a number of his former players who've been extraordinarily successful, in many cases in things other than athletics, in various business pursuits, we'll come back and say so much of why I'm successful is because of what I learned here at Michigan State. And it has a lot to do with discipline, with study habits, with time management, in the case of athletics, but I'm sure it's no different in music. It's the ability to, I would think, to take something on that isn't very easy at first, and to work at it, and to practice, and be disciplined, and to overcome some of those hurdles as your brain and your fingers become more and more coordinated, depending on the instrument, and then eventually to learn that through that process you become successful. And so I wouldn't doubt at all that that many very accomplished people got all they needed to learn from all they needed to be successful in business from some version of their bassoon teacher.
It's absolutely true. Kids who have access to music have better academic results, better workforce opportunities, and in general, they tend to have more civic engagement over their lifetime as voters and volunteers. So, you know, when we look at music and the skills that it teaches, we tend to think of it as building out the whole citizen. It teaches critical thinking. It teaches abstract math because, you know, well, that's what musical notation is. It's all fractions. You know, I played the cello, and that's why I always say that's why I'm in administration, because music theory is hard. But, you know, we benefit from all the thought leaders at the College of Music who are really innovating music education today. I mean, it's not just, you know what it was when I was growing up and you learned to play hot cross buns and then you moved on to harder and harder pieces. You know, today they're really looking at how music can deliver kind of different concepts, including social justice concepts. You know, we worked with some professors at the College of Music to design a curriculum we call Music Empowers. And what that does is use music as a way to introduce kids to social justice concepts. So, you know, looking at composers throughout history who you wouldn't normally learn about in the books, or letting the kids decide what kind of music they're interested in, and using that as the basis for the music, for looking at musical notation. You know, for instance, our concert band kids this last summer, the band director let them vote on the music that they wanted to play. You know, that would not have happened in my day and age.
I imagine not. I remember when my daughter was learning piano, somewhat reluctantly at first. The big turning point was when the teacher let her select what she wanted to play, and I think that was it was impactful because it gave her. It gave her some skin in the game, if you will, and it was more meaningful that way.
Right, right. There's a notion today in music education called culturally relevant pedagogy, and that's essentially what that is. So what are the kids listening to? How can music, you know, relate to their lives in a way that's going to engage them on a much deeper level? And it's not always necessarily the European classical tradition. I've got a teacher who will, you know, arrange some Lizzo music for the kids to play, you know, if that's what they're interested in. And the kids, of course, they want to play video music nowadays, or the movie soundtrack music. And, you know, that's a fantastic way to get them to engage in their own vision of creativity, and makes them want to achieve. And that's really important.
So talking about student interests, instruments do we teach at the community school, and what are you finding are the instruments of choice for our younger population, or what do they find interesting, and does it differ from instruments of interest to older populations?
Well, we teach music for babies through seniors and everybody in between, but we really specialize in acting as a pipeline and introducing a lot of kids to beginning music education. So we teach all instruments, that strings, winds, brass, percussion, piano, guitar, ukulele, as well as vocal music, both in sort of either a solo or ensemble setting. And then we have ensembles in the classical band and jazz band tradition. So we really have really something for everybody. But it's funny, I always say that choosing an instrument for a child is very personal. And so I always want to encourage them to, you know, to explore it until they sort of settle into, you know, what is going to excite them, because music is a journey and you want them to stick with it. But piano will always be very popular. Percussion will always be very popular. We've got some sold out strings and guitar classes this fall. We've got a lot of young singers. So, you know, that's just exciting. We just started our fall classes last week. We've got over 50 online classes right now. And when we have classes that are really full of children having fun, you know, even on the computer with each other on Zoom, it's just tremendously exciting to see their creative juices flowing.
That is amazing. And that was a question I was curious about. Music education seems to me like something that's most optimally done in person, sort of with the teacher kind of looking over and making sure that, you know, the finger placement might be right on an instrument or what have you. How have you adapted to our current environment, which mostly doesn't allow for that?
Yeah, well, it really would be our choice to be all together in a room making music. But obviously, you know, the global pandemic of COVID has meant that that's just not feasible for safety purposes. So like the rest of the country, we shut down in mid-March, but it really took us a couple weeks, but we worked as hard as we could to really rethink the way we could deliver music in the online environment. And, you know, unfortunately, we have so many new technology applications today. You know, kids, even just with a phone, can write and compose their own music. But we can also share with them, you know, wonderful programs for arranging and transcription and recording. So, you know, in lieu of doing live concerts, we restructured most of our classes to sort of end in either what we call a listening party, where they've pre-recorded, you know, they've each recorded their part and then it's been edited into a concert, or else we just sort of went one at a time with our recitals and, you know, had each young person have their, you know, 5 minutes of fame. Not ready for 15 minutes yet. And that was wonderful. I mean, we taught hundreds and hundreds of families how to Zoom last spring before it was a household word. And it was really important to us to just be there every week with the consistent, caring role model music instructor that the student already had an existing relationship with. You know, because, you know, let's face it, COVID is a scary, isolating time for a lot of people. And I think we're getting a little more adjusted to it now. But at the beginning, you know, we were just there, you know, social emotional sense, helping the kids, you know, stay focused and positive and giving them time to play and interact with each other online. So, I mean, I've actually had some parents say, you know, my kids actually really, you know, doing well on the trombone. They've done a lot more practicing, you know, in this environment. So, you know, I think we did the glass is more than half full, even though we'd rather be together in person. And, you know, I was just watching one of our flute classes on Saturday morning, and I was commenting on this to somebody today, there are really little kids on the screen. And the instructor was like, okay, now take this URL and paste it into your browser. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a skill that I would be challenged by, that probably the average 6 or 7 year old can easily accomplish.
I know, but who knew that, you know, I mean, but this is just another reason that what we're doing is important, because, you know, it's they're really learning how to use computers while also, you know, learning their music. So it's, you know, we've probably got over 400 families right now taking online music classes with us. And that's really important. Keeping the kids focused and positive and, you know, with goals and, you know, and just we're celebrating their accomplishments, you know, on a regular basis.
Well, Jill, I think that is really, really important during this time that in some ways has felt very isolating. You know, it's hard to do the normal things that we might normally, you know, just that we do on a regular basis. And so that connection, on a weekly basis with a music teacher and with peers that are learning along with you, I think would be very impactful. And, you know, and it sounds like it's been an extraordinary success despite these challenges. One of the things that I found interesting about the Community Music School is that you have classes for infants. And I must say that, so my children range in age from 21 to 15. And when my two older children were infants, I remember my wife going to a music class with them. And And for whatever reason, as life changed and things happened, we didn't do that with our youngest. But the two older children took up piano in their in their earlier years, 8, 10 years old, and still to this day, we'll occasionally go over to the piano and play and pull out something. And our youngest has never had a musical inclination, and I don't know if that's our fault because he wasn't in those infant classes or not. But at least from the experience of my older two, whether it was the infant classes or something else, neither of them would think of themselves as musicians, but they've played the piano over the years, and my daughter picked up a little bit of guitar, and it's something they've always enjoyed. So very well it may have a significant impact. But tell us, what happens at an infant music class?
Yes, well, we are very fortunate in that at the College of Music, we have Dr. Karen Salvador, who is really an internationally renowned expert on early childhood music. And essentially, you grow the majority of your brain synapses between, being born and around age 6. And music is one of the activities that, unlike just passively listening to music, but in interacting in a musical engagement, lights up all areas of the brain and literally fuels growth in terms of the development. And so they have a very specific research-based curriculum. It's called Music Play. That's, decades and decades of research have gone into, what fires up babies. There's a lot of call and response. There's a lot of interaction. And usually the parent or caregiver is present with those very young ages. But you learn music in the same way you learn language. So, and it's the precursor to language. So the babies are literally imitating tone and pattern, which are, a form of communication before you begin to form words. So, and it's incredible because you can see how they react. You can walk into a baby class and they're just eyes wide, even when they can't see very well. Newborns, as don't have great eyesight, but they are just reacting 200% to the music. And we have one grant that enables us to go into all of the homeless shelters in Detroit and the Head Start locations, where we have some really expert faculty working with our very, very young, very vulnerable populations. And we've just had some incredible stories come out of that. We had one little child who had witnessed the death of a parent in a domestic violence situation, and he had not spoken for quite some time, and after music class with Miss Christie a few times, he was literally, wanting to react verbally and interact with the teacher. So that just goes to show the healing power and the inspirational power of music. But yeah, it starts from as soon as you're out of the womb. The more you can sing and talk to your baby, the more language skills and other skills they're going to develop, and that's what the research tells us.
Well, that's really very, very, very special, and that's an extraordinary story. So you start out as optimally as an infant and hearing the music and reacting, and then you, as our students grow older and they're in school. Our community music school has a sort of a hand in glove relationship with the Detroit Public School, and how does that work? How do you connect with the local school district that sort of surrounds your building there on Woodward Avenue?
Yeah, well, I will say that supporting music programs in our public school and supporting our public school music teachers is a huge priority for the College of Music and for the community music school. These are people doing really important work, and we want to help them strengthen their programs and supplement any of the activities that they're doing. So as I mentioned, they've hired literally over 100 teachers in the last year in the Detroit Public Schools Community District to return more music and fine arts to everyday programming. But you can't just go from 0 to 100, to build you know, the kinds of programs that were once available in Detroit, say 50 years ago. So we're working with them to ask them, how can we help you and support your program? So for instance, right now, you know, with everyone learning in the virtual environment, we're offering all of our selection of teaching artists who can lead sectionals, you know, which is breaking off a group of instruments by type and building on those foundational skills that they can then bring back to the ensemble, you know, and strengthen the overall band or orchestra. So we're providing those teaching artists. We also loan the schools sheet music, you know, in PDF or hard copy, whatever they need. If they don't have it, we will loan free instruments at no charge to any students that would like to interact with the community music school. And that's really important because not all the schools have what they need to outfit their ensembles. And that's actually part of our Lonely Instruments in Need of Kids program. So for any student that's enrolled, you know, in one of our activities, we can loan instruments at no cost. And that's really important. So and then, you know, we're working with the music teachers on professional development. You know, anything they say that we can help with. One of our really young lions of the jazz program just led a professional development workshop for DPSCD teachers about using technology in remote instruction. And, you know, there were 30 teachers at that who said that was really fantastic. And we just happened to have this talent, you know, coming out of the College of Music that we can share.
Yeah, no, I think that connection between our faculty and young people in our communities around the state is so meaningful and so special. One of the projects I've been involved in just a little bit is the through my role as a board member and on the MSU Federal Credit Union is our sponsorship of a jazz program that takes our jazz faculty and visiting musicians out into high schools working with the with their jazz bands and to talk to the young people after they've had that experience working with a world renowned jazz musician. First of all, is a experience they'll never forget, just having had the opportunity. But it helps them not only with technical skills, but also I think the emotional impact is so strong, and and it's such a meaningful experience that it really inspires them to continue. And so I think those that outreach to the community is such an important part of what we do at Michigan State.
Absolutely. You know, Professor Rodney Whitaker, you know, a homegrown Detroiter who's, you know, an internationally renowned jazz musician and jazz pedagogue at the College of Music is just, you know, he's like a walking PBS special. I could listen to him talk all day, but Rodney cares about us in Detroit deeply. So we're very fortunate to be able to access that program that you just mentioned. And our first one is next Wednesday night with Terrell Stafford. So the kids are really excited to have a virtual masterclass in concert with him. So, so thank you for your leadership on that project.
No, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that they'll be visiting. So you just had completed a process of studying the impact of the community music school on the community, and I'd be curious to get your obviously the community music school has had an extraordinary impact, but give us a little deeper sense of what the study showed you.
Yeah, absolutely. We were so lucky to get a grant from the Ralph Wilson Foundation to really take a look at what we've done in the past 10 years. And we were able to work with public sector consultants out of East Lansing. They're an independent research firm, and they looked at all of our data over the last 2 years and collected a lot of new data that we wouldn't normally have had access to, and did a real deep dive into what is the community music school, who do they serve, what has been, you know, the results of this investment. And I think we get some really exciting information out of that exercise. You know, and to me, one of the most exciting things is that we've had 40 program alumni matriculate to MSU. But even more important, 25 of those were first generation. So out of Detroit, first generation, you know, in their families to attend college. And that's important. And that's indicative of, you know, the talent that we have, but that there are a lot of young people who just really need additional resources to fulfill their potential. And now most of these kids didn't go on to study music. They're studying biology and law and communications. And, you know, they're going to be tomorrow's civic leaders in any number of fields. But music was, you know, an important tool for them to get to where their destiny needed to take them. And, you know, we've had a lot of other kids come through the program and get, you know, full scholarships to other places. We had one of our longtime students get a $70,000 a year scholarship to the Oberlin Conservatory. We had another kid get a $40,000 a year scholarship to the New School Jazz Conservatory in Manhattan. And, you know, just anecdotally, there's dozens of others that, you know, we helped earn college scholarship dollars, you know, whether they're going to be professional musicians or not, they're going to be able to, you know, play music in the college environment and really have music in their lives for the rest, you know, forever.
Well, and that's extraordinary because the scholarships you mention are, those aren't just scholarships. Those are scholarships to some of our country's finest musical institutions. So that's pretty spectacular.
I fully expect someday we'll be watching the Grammy Awards and see some of our former students. I really do.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. So Jill, I'll wrap up with two questions.
Sure.
The first one's kind of a fun question, and that is, I was going to ask you what your favorite instrument is, but I'm guessing it's the cello. but I'll ask you instead, what's your favorite music genre that you enjoy listening to? And do you have a favorite musical artist?
Oh my gosh, that's a really tough one. I am going to have to say, you know, I worked for the Detroit Symphony Orchestra for 15 years. So I was in the classical world for a long, long time. But in my current life, I get to hear a lot more jazz. So I would have to say jazz. And probably my favorite musician is, you know, Rodney Whittaker. When he plays the upright bass and when he gets out that bow, oh my goodness, he just, you know, is just, he bowls me over. So anytime I get a chance to see him live and sit as close as possible.
No, I agree. I've heard Rodney perform on a number of occasions, and watching Rodney perform is almost as much fun as listening to him because the energy and enthusiasm and just the joy that he brings to what he does, I think really exemplifies what about music is so special. So,
and he made a recording with his daughter, who is a fantastic jazz vocalist, Raquel Fortin. And the New York Times did a review of that CD, and I would urge you to rush out and get it. I've listened, Falling Leaves is what it's called, and I've listened to that about 100 times.
Very good. I will do that. Well, we'll wrap up, Jill, by asking for those that might be listening and think, wow, this is an extraordinary opportunity. How do I find out more about it? How can we help our listeners learn more about your programming?
Please come and visit our website, which is www.cms.msu.edu. We just started fall classes. It's not too late to register for anything. We have something for all ages and all skill levels. So if you're home and you want to learn to play the ukulele during COVID, we can help you out. So check out our website. We're also going to say follow us on Facebook, and it's just MSU Community Music School Detroit, and we're always posting information about exciting events or you know, master classes that we're hosting, and we'd love to have you come check us out, and please tell others about us because kids need music in their lives.
Well, I was, Jill, I was introduced to the banjo by listening to Steve Martin, who was one of my favorite comedians growing up, and became a pretty well recognized banjo player. So I have stolen my daughter's banjo because she's away at college and doesn't play it anymore. And so I might just have to enroll in a class because that'd be a lot of fun to do. But I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been great learning about the MSU Community Music School in Detroit. Right down on Woodward Avenue. And Jill, I just can't thank you enough for sharing with us, and would encourage everybody to look up that website, www.cms.msu.edu, to learn more about the Community Music School in Detroit. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bill. It's been my pleasure.